Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many happy tonight? Amen. Glory to God. How many glad to be saved tonight? Anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Anybody come expecting tonight? Praise God. We serve a good God, don't we? Amen, 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 amen. Look at somebody and tell them this: the Lord has a word for you. Look at somebody else, tell them, you look like you could need, you could use a word from the Lord. Now tell them the Lord has a word for you tonight. Amen, amen, amen. I tell you, when God's got a word for us, we need to be those who are listening. Am I right about that? Yeah, because God's always got a word. But sometimes his people are not always listening. I lost all my amens there. All right. We're going to 2 Chronicles tonight. We're reading from the New Living Translation tonight. And I tell you, the Lord has got a word for you. That's the title of this message. The Lord has got a word for you. The Lord has got a word for you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Yeah. I tell you, God can bring us a word in so many ways. Thank you. How many know that his word, the holy written word of God, every chapter, every line, every verse is a word from God? How many know God honors the promises of his word? I remember when my son, JP, goodness, he's 28 now, I think, 28. And but I remember when he would have been younger than eight. And I think he would have been maybe six or something. But anyway, I was putting him to bed, and we'd had a busy day. I've shared the story with you, but I felt, just to tell you again, we'd had a busy day. I was putting him to bed. We'd said our prayers, and I tucked him in and gave him a hug. And he said these words to me: "Dad, you said we were going to McDonald's today." And, you know, naturally it's 11 o'clock at night now, you know, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock. And I said, "Oh, well, look, you forgot about it. I forgot about it. We just had a busy day. But I'll make up for it tomorrow, and I'll take you to McDonald's tomorrow." And I was teaching him, you know, that God always honors his word. And I was endeavoring to show him that his daddy also honored his word. I've always been that way with my boys and my wife. And I had been reinforcing that principle that God honors his word and that your daddy will honor his word. And so he said, you know, them big brown eyes opened up real big, and he said to me, "Dad, but you said we were going to McDonald's." And I said, "But son, you know, look, it's 11 o'clock. You can't go to McDonald's tonight. There's just no way." He said, "But Dad, you said." And there was something about seeing the confidence in his voice and in those big brown eyes when he said, "Dad, you said." And I could see his confidence in what I had told him. And I got that boy up. He was in his pajamas. I got him up and got his house coat on. And man, we headed to the garage and we headed straight to Mickey D's. I said, "Father, forgive me for taking this child to McDonald's at 11 o'clock at night. But I don't want there to be an opportunity for him to feel that I've broken my word to him." And the Bible says we ought to swear to our own hurt and change not as believers, because God never changes his word unto us. I said, God is faithful. And when God gives you a word, it's something you can count on. I said, when the Lord speaks to you, you can take that to the bank. Yeah. And so we went on to McDonald's. And man, I'll never forget that. I remember another time, my older son, Stephen, I was going somewhere to speak. And Stephen was a young boy then. And Stephen had asked me, "Dad, before you get on your plane, can we throw the ball?" And I had said, "Oh, sure, we'll throw the ball." And we'd had the whole day, but the day just went by in a flash. And all of a sudden, I found myself in the car, and I was backing out of the driveway. And then I saw his big brown eyes. He was waving at me, but I knew what his eyes were telling me. You promised me we were supposed to throw the ball. And I was happened to be late for the flight. And it was dubious if I stopped right then that I'd be able to make that flight. But I could not resist. I could not go past those eyes looking at me with confidence. And I stopped the car, got out, said, go get the glove. I know, go get the glove. He ran, you know, he had the big old smile broke out on his face. He ran and got the gloves, got the ball. And we stood out there throwing the ball like we had all the time in the world. And by the grace of God, well, I made that flight that day. But I would rather have missed it than for him to think that I had broken my word to him. I said, God is a God. He's the only wise God, but he honors his word. And the Lord's got a word just for you. Are you listening? We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And King Jehoshaphat, he was king of the southern kingdom, and he had a terrible problem, a terrible problem. Before we get to that, let me just read some scripture here. We're going to skip ahead and read the end of the story. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to start reading at verse 22. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, okay? And 2 Chronicles 20, I'm going to start at verse 22. Do one thing for me before we read. I didn't thank our worship team. Would you thank all of our worship team, all of them leading us into the presence of God? We appreciate them. I don't want to take that for... Thank you. Thank you. All right. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. And after they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. Verse 25. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. And there was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. And then all the men returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. And they marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps and lyres and trumpets. And they proceeded to the temple of the Lord. And when all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of the Lord, the fear of God, came over them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. That's a powerful story. I said it's a powerful story. And it ends in such a powerful way. And we picked up this story with Jehoshaphat going out to a battle. And he does the most unusual thing. He puts the praisers out in front of the army, out in front of the warriors. He gets the praisers and puts them out in front of the warriors. And they go into battle that way with people praising God in front of armed warriors. And we just read what happened. When the moment they began to praise God, confusion came in the enemy's camp. And the enemy began to attack one another. But the story begins and really would have ended a totally different way had it not been for the Lord. had it not been for the Lord who was on the side of Israel, had it not been for the Lord who was on the side of King Jehoshaphat, this story would have ended a different way. This story had a different ending before God got involved. I wonder if there's anybody here and you can say there's areas of your life that would have ended poorly, that would have ended in defeat, that would have ended hopelessly had it not been for the Lord. I wonder if there's anybody here who could testify as a just Brother Bill that can say, I can look at areas of my life and say, oh, Father, had it not been for you, that would have ended in defeat. That would have ended in misery. That would have ended terribly had it not been for the Lord. I said, God's got a word just for you. And God's got an answer for every situation that you or I may find ourselves in, though it may come as a surprise, as a bewilderment sometimes to you and I. It's not that way to Father God. He has the answer to every situation. He knows the answer to every unsolvable crisis, every unfixable situation. I said, God knows the answer. God's got the answer. I remember years ago, after I'd gone through a divorce and I'd been single many years by then, 8 years, I'd been single 8 years. And I remember when the Lord encouraged my heart and I was telling the Lord, you know, I want to get married again. I want to meet the right person. I want to get married again. And I remember coming to Winter Bible. I was reading in my prayer book the other day. How many of you got a prayer book? You know, I just encourage you, if you don't have a prayer book, it's so good to have a prayer book where you write down God's dealings with you. Write down your daily quiet time. Write down what you feel God is saying to you by the Holy Ghost. I didn't get no amen there. I tell you, bless me, I was just reading in my prayer books. I took the prayer book out and reading my prayer book, went back to Winter Bible Seminar. I forget the date now to do my prayer book. I think it was 2020. And the Lord had spoken to my heart, told me just stay at peace. I'm praying about getting married again. You know, Lord, I want to meet the right person. Lord just told me, just trust me, stay at peace. And then I read in my prayer book, Pastor Hagin, during one of the sessions, he got to moving by the Holy Ghost and got to moving among the crowd and ministering. And never forget, I had been on the floor laughing. I was halfway slouched over on the pew. And I never forget, he came over and shut his microphone off. And then from his lips came a word from the Lord. I wrote it in my prayer book. There's light at the end of the tunnel. And God has a special lady for you. And as you trust him, she'll come. And she'll love you the way you're supposed to be loved. And you'll love her the way she's supposed to be loved. So stay encouraged. He flipped his mic on and kept going to minister to someone else. And oh man, that was chiseled in my heart like it was chiseled in stone. And I was looking in my closet the other day. I rearranged my closet, you know. And I told Tony, I said, Tony, come look at how I rearranged this closet. And she said, baby, this looks nice. What you did looks nice. And I had one little cubicle in my closet. And it has a statue of a pastor, and his loving wife is holding him. She's right up next to him, leaning into him. So she said, how long have you had that? I said, that is what I had before I met you. That was my point of contact by faith. I said, that little statue of a pastor and his wife, I put that was in my closet, and I'd see that every day for 8 years. I'd see that and say, thank you, Lord. I know you've got the right woman for me. I said, now look at what's behind it. What's behind it is a picture of our wedding day. She and I on our wedding day. I said, so the statue represents the promise and the picture represents the fulfillment. She said, oh boy, go ahead. What are you saying? I'm saying God is faithful. He's got a word just for you. In our story here, it starts out horribly wrong. King Jehoshaphat gets news, and it is not good news. It is bad news. And how you and I handle bad news is critically important to our own success. I'm going to say that again. How you handle bad news, how I handle bad news is critically important to our success. You know, some people get bad news, they freak out. They freak out. What we call it, they bug out, they wig out. But you can't afford to do that, because when you get bad news, and at some point or another, all of us are going to get bad news. Thank God we have the gospel, and the gospel is always. I said the gospel is always. I said the gospel is always. It don't matter what bad news you get. If you'll apply the good news of the gospel, God's good news will trump the bad news that you got every single time. It'll override the bad news that you got. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. The gospel is always good news. But there's always somebody who's going to bring you bad news, bad news. And Jehoshaphat, king, he's the king of Judah. He gets bad news, terrible news. And in the first verse of chapter 20, 2 Chronicles 20, it says, after this, the armies of the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some of the Meunites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They're already at Hazazon Tamar, and that was another name for En-Gedi. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for his guidance. He ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So the people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. It was bad news. They said, in effect, you're being attacked by three different armies. And there's no time to do anything. There's no time to react. They're almost here. And they are united in one thing: to conquer you. And the news was so bad, it terrified. Anybody ever got news and it just brought terror? Anybody ever been there? Oh, but I tell you, when we apply the good news of God's word, God will lead us through every single time. Verse 11 gives us some insight as well as to how bad this news was, because when we read down here and see let's go to verse 11 and 12, we'll read. Verse 11 says, now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. Isn't that interesting? The king is saying, we are powerless against this mighty army. We don't know what to do. We don't know what direction to go. The worst thing to do when you don't know what to do is to panic. I said, I wish I had an amen in here. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by our feelings. Amen. And sometimes it's hard to, when you get bad news, listen, you've got to resist the urge to panic. You've got to resist the temptation to panic. And one of the first things that you're going to have to do, listen now, one of the first things you're going to have to do, God's got a word for you, but one of the first things you're going to have to do is change the atmosphere. Brother, won't get no amen teaching like that. You're going to have to change the atmosphere. So oftentimes it's the wrong atmosphere that's been set around us. And when you get bad news and you start to get in fear and you start to panic, or you start to get angry, or you start to get into strife with other people, or your husband or your wife or whatever it is, you're going to have a wrong atmosphere around you. And one of the things that you and I have to do is create the right atmosphere. And Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, the first thing he did is he calls a fast. He calls all the people together and he tells them that we are going to fast. And he sets aside time to seek the Lord. You can see that again, verse 3. He was terrified by the news. He begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So the people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. And you're going to have to change the atmosphere. Change the atmosphere. How do we do it? It's so important to change the atmosphere. Let me tell you, one of the most important ways to change the atmosphere is just taking time to spend time in worship and praise. Go with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Change the atmosphere. Change the atmosphere. How many know atmospheres are important? When there is an atmosphere of strife, how many know strife can get so thick, you could feel that atmosphere. You know the atmosphere of fear is so tangible. You know, they say dogs can smell fear on people. A dog can pick up when there's an atmosphere of fear, you know, a predator, a lion, they can sense when there's fear. It creates a certain atmosphere. If you're going to walk in victory, you're going to have to change that atmosphere. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Jehoshaphat called the people together to seek the Lord, and the first thing that did was change the atmosphere around them. And when you change the atmosphere out of faith, when you change that atmosphere out of strife, when you change that atmosphere out of worry, when you change that atmosphere to a faith-filled, faith-charged atmosphere, and one of the main ways to do it is worshiping God. We're in Acts 13 now. The scripture says here that 13:1, among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, called the black man, Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, the childhood companion of King Herod, Antipas, and Saul. Verse 2, one day as these men were worshiping the Lord, some versions say ministering to the Lord, and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I've called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Do you notice here, verse 2 says, one day these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Some versions say ministering to the Lord and fasting. They were worshiping the Lord and fasting. And what happened after that? The Holy Ghost spoke. The Holy Ghost didn't speak before they worshiped the Lord and ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost didn't speak before. The Holy Ghost spoke after they worshiped the Lord. That worship, listen to me, that worship set an atmosphere. I said that worship created an atmosphere. I said that time to minister to the Lord changed the atmosphere. Sometimes when people hear bad news, they panic, they freak out. They worry, oh God, what are we going to do? Oh, no, 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 oh God, what are we going to do? 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 No, you got to change the atmosphere. You're going to have to charge the atmosphere around you with faith. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. So sometimes people don't receive the word of the Lord. There's a word of the Lord for them, and they don't receive the word of the Lord because they never change the atmosphere around them. You're going to have to create a different atmosphere around you. And one of the main ways to do it, not the only way, but one of the main ways to do it is to take time to seek the Lord and worship him. I said, take time and bless his name. Here in Acts 13:2, the Holy Ghost speaks after their time of worshiping the Lord, after their time of ministering to the Lord, the Holy Ghost. They created such an atmosphere by ministering to the Lord. They set that atmosphere, and then in that holy, sacred atmosphere, the Holy Ghost spoke. Sometimes we get it backwards. We create an atmosphere of worry, fear, strife, anxiety.
And you say, oh God, will you go speak to me? Oh God, go speak to me. Oh God, please speak, speak to me.
Now listen, if you'll change that atmosphere, spend time ministering to the Lord. Spend time worshiping the Lord. Change the atmosphere first. Put yourself in a position to hear, and then let the Holy Ghost speak. If you'll change the atmosphere, you'll create an environment where the Holy Ghost will speak to you. Go back to 2 Chronicles 20. So the first thing here, listen, change the atmosphere. I'll tell you another way to change the atmosphere. Remind God of his word. King Jehoshaphat did this. He took the time here to remind God of his word, to remind God of what he had already said. You know, God gets the honor, he gets the glory whenever his men, his women remind him of his word. And the scripture says, when you read, you can see it here, verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah in Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard of the temple of the Lord. And he prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people of Israel arrived? Did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here, built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague, or famine, We can come and stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored, and we can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And of course, God promised that. When the temple was dedicated, you remember when the temple was dedicated, they made all of the sacrifices, and the glory of God came in the temple, and they couldn't even stand. They couldn't even stand in the temple. The presence of the glory of God was so thick in the temple. And at the dedication of the temple, God told them, I've promised you my word, and I've promised you this land. And if you get into disobedience, you'll get out from under my protection. But if you'll call out to me, and you remember all around, 2 Chronicles 7:14, God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. He said, God said, I'll heal your land. I'll hear you from heaven. God said, if you'll call out to me, if you'll remind me of my word. Jehoshaphat begins to remind God, this is your land. This is your temple. We are your people. He started to remind, what are you talking about? Changing the atmosphere. Worship is a certain cure. Worship will always change the atmosphere around you. But reminding God of his word is another key way we change the atmosphere. Remind him of his word. And see, whatever word, whatever area that your mind needs to be renewed in, whatever you're going through, it might be financial, might be something in your body, might could be something emotional, could be something else, could be something spiritual, whatever it is. Find those scriptures. Find God's word. Remind him. Isaiah 43, put me in remembrance of my word. God said, look, put me in remembrance of my word. God honors his word. And like I got up with John Paul and he went to McDonald's because I didn't want to break that thought in his mind that his father's going to honor his word. And today he has no problem trusting his heavenly father to honor his word because he's seen his earthly father honor his word. So remind God, put God in remembrance of his word, and you will change the atmosphere. Putting in remembrance of his word. Now, here's the thing. When we put God in remembrance of his word, we create a situation where we position ourselves where now not only can we be ministered to through the logos of the word, God's written word, thank God, because his word, the logos is alive. But then the rhema of the word will rise from the logos of the word. I said, when you begin to remind God of his word, remind God of the promises of his word, as you're doing that, the Holy Ghost will quicken a rhema word to you. I said, he'll speak. God's got a word for you. Somebody says, I sure wish I could get a word from God. Brother, I sure wish I could get a word from God. You need to spend more time reminding God of his word. So often we spend very little time there. We spend very little time reminding God of his word. But God honors his word. And I said, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. And God will always, he gets glory when he sees his children standing on his word. It was just like John Paul. When I saw John Paul looking at me, I thought, man, there ain't no way that we'd go on to McDonald's. Mickey D's, here we come. This boy has had his heart set on his daddy honoring his word. When I saw my son Stephen out there waiting for me to throw the ball with him, it caused me to stop that car to honor my word. God gets glory when he sees you and I standing on the word saying, Father, you said. And when Jehoshaphat said, I know I've got three big armies coming against me. I know we're outnumbered. We don't know what to do. But God, this is your place. You gave us this land. He said, you gave us the temple. He said, you kicked out the inhabitants of this land. He said, you gave it to Abraham. You gave it to your children. There's nobody greater than you. You say, what happened after that? Then a rhema word came after that. A rhema word came because if you look down at verse 13, it says, as the men of Judah stood before the Lord, with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jeel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite, who was a descendant of Asaph, And he said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You'll find them coming through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions and then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He's with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. And then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a loud shout. And what goes on from there is the next morning they get up just like the Lord told them, and they head out to the battle. And the Lord's told them, you're not even going to have to fight in this battle. And as they're on the way, Jehoshaphat stops the army and he gets all the praisers and takes them out of line and positions them right up front. And they walk to the battle line praising God. And the moment they started praising God, the Bible says God caused the enemy to fall into confusion, and all three armies started fighting against each other. They had been united in attacking Judah, but now, as Israel was praising God, they were praising God. I said, something mighty happens when we praise God. I said, something mighty happens when we change the atmosphere and begin to praise God. I said, right there in your apartment, you change the atmosphere and you begin to bless the Lord. You begin to magnify the Lord. You begin to walk the floor in your kitchen, and God is moving mountains. God is changing situations down there on your job. God is changing circumstances around. God is getting a wayward child back. God is moving. Holy angels are moving out of heaven. God is accomplishing his word on your behalf. When you begin to walk the floor and praise God and magnify the Lord, I said, when you first remind God of his word, then a rhema word can come. When you remind him of the Logos, of what he said in the Logos, then he'll put that rhema on you. From the pages of the Logos will rise a rhema word right to your heart. And when you latch onto that rhema word, I said, victory, 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 victory is ours. So often, we are walking around and just languishing and just... We're just in the wrong atmosphere. Go, let's do one more scripture. Go with me to 1 Kings 19. Let's do one more scripture. I'll tell you, we have got to change the atmosphere. 1 Kings 19. Elisha found himself in a bad place. He let the atmosphere around him sour and weaken. He let the atmosphere dampen with discouragement, and he just allowed fear and discouragement to send him to a bad place. In 1 Kings 19, the Lord asked him, verse 9, there he came to a cave where he spent the night, but the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Look at verse 11, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out, stood at the entrance of the cave, and the voice said, what are you doing here? He heard the voice of the Lord. It was in that gentle whisper. It wasn't in the fire. It wasn't in the wind. It wasn't in the chaos. And sometimes, unless we change that atmosphere around us, we got to get that atmosphere of all the fire and the wind and the chaos. Get rid of that atmosphere. Get a faith-filled atmosphere around you by reminding God of his word. Get a faith-filled atmosphere around you by worshiping the Lord and setting the tone and setting the atmosphere right there in your apartment, right there in your home, right there in your cubicle, right there in your car. Set the atmosphere. And when you set the atmosphere by faith, you'll create an atmosphere where the Holy Ghost will speak to you. And when you take the Logos of God's word and remind him of the Logos of his word, whoa, you do that long enough, and there's going to come a rhema from the Logos of the word, because the Bible's a living word. And sometimes people run off before they get before they concentrate on the logos of the word. And people run off before God can give them the rhema word. But if you'll stick with the word, change the atmosphere around you. King Jehoshaphat changed the atmosphere, and God gave him a word. And he said, you're not even going to have to fight. He put the praisers out front, and God caused the victory to come. I said, God wants to help somebody today. If you'll listen to him, get the praisers out front, remind him of his word, change the atmosphere, and God will speak to you. Man, so much more we could say about this, but we're out of time tonight. Let the Lord talk to you. God's got a word for you. Before we go tonight, we do want to receive an offering for our pastor. What can you say about Pastor Hagen? He's an amazing, amazing man of God. Ask anybody who's worked for him, any of the staff team, and they will share the sensitivity of his heart, his love for people, his love for this church. And he has set an example by precept and by word and by example. And we just love Pastor. We love him. We want him to be blessed. I think this is his 86th birthday. And he's just strong and blessed. How many want to bless Pastor on his birthday? All right, so let's do this really quick. You can give using a traditional offering envelope. Just designate Hagen and the amount you'd like to give on the line item on the offering envelope. Or you can text to give. I did that before I came up. I gave both ways texting. If you're giving your tithes, you're going to use RBC. But if you're going to give to his birthday, just use the word Hagen, H-A-G-I-N, right? So you're texting to 28950. Use the word Hagen, H-A-G-I-N, a space in the amount you'd like to give. I did that before I came up. All right. If you are ready to give tonight, listen, if you are watching, you bless Pastor as well. I know you are equally interested in blessing Pastor. We just love him so much. We thank God for his life, for his example, for his ministry. And so you give there as well, okay? All right. So if all hearts are ready, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our pastor. Thank you for sustaining him. May this be his greatest year ever. Thank you for the legacy and the example that he has set in the earth. And thank you for how our lives have all been changed because of the obedience of this man. We give you the glory for his life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Receive our offering now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So let's let these ushers get out of the way. While the ushers are doing that, if we could have our prayer team come on down. They're just going to come forward. These men and women are anointed, prayed up. What are they coming for? If you need prayer for anything, this is how we do it on Wednesday night. You say, I want to be born again. I want to get born again. You can do that right here. If you're a lady, come to the ladies. If you're a guy, come to the guys. The only people moving right now are the ushers and these prayer altar care workers. If you're a lady, come to one of these anointed ladies. And if you're a guy, come to one of these anointed men. You say, I want to be filled with the Spirit. Come on down here. You say, I got a prayer request, though. I want somebody to pray with me. Would they pray with me? Yes. They will agree with you in prayer. Yeah. Come on forward. They're down here. They want you. Come on. That's right. Come on down. They will agree with you in prayer. You won't leave here like you came. You won't leave here like you came. Come on down. That's right. That's right. Give them just a minute. We're going to let them get out, the ushers. And these are the fastest ushers this side of heaven. And we appreciate them. Give them a big hand. They do such a fantastic job. Yeah. We'll give them just a moment. Stand up on your feet, my brother and sister. Don't forget now, listen, you get bad news. Don't just let bad news soak into your brain, soak into your mind. You're going to have to change the atmosphere. Bad news will get you out of faith. Bad news will keep you from hearing God. Bad news will cause you to forfeit a word from the logos of the word or a rhema word that comes from Scripture. So change the atmosphere. Change the atmosphere. Worship God. Remind him of his word. Spend time in his presence. All right, I think we're almost there. Give us just another 30 seconds. We're almost there. They're almost there. We appreciate your patience. All right, guys, anything else? We all good? All right, you be here Sunday morning, School of the Bible, and then another great message Sunday morning, 10 a.m. God bless you. You are dismissed.